Today is Tuesday, January the 8th. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt Visitors Bureau, Tony Smithers. I know there's a Eureka in there, but good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
And you brought along sidekick number two, huh?
I have April Higgins, our sales coordinator.
Hello.
All right, so this is for two of you to see if you know why do we say.
Okay.
What is the reason cheek means impudence, as in the phrase, none of your cheek or being cheeky?
You know, I use that term all the time, so I should know.
And any chance?
Nope.
None at all.
April?
Is it the same as bite your lip?
Nope.
Okay. Nope.
Cheek here is substituted for jaw, and your jaw is used in talking. If you stop talking, you can't be impudent.
Ah. Uh-huh. That is. Wise people keep their mouth shut sometimes.
So, hi.
I suppose one of the questions that you guys are getting an awful lot now is with the national or with the federal parks systems, many of them being shut down, is it impacting anything? I don't even know which ones would normally be staffed at this time in the neighborhood and to what extent and if there is an issue. I mean, Yosemite's the one I think that
some folks were talking about. I know the Smithsonian was one that they were talking about, but
well, you know,
in our region, other
our parks are open year round. And there are, of course, several federal agencies that manage public lands. There's not only National Park Service, but there's the National Forest Service. And we have, you know, Six Rivers National Forest, over 1 million acres. And then BLM and, you know, what have you. The issue that always alarms me is the media images of, you know, overflowing trash cans and locked gates, which just generally, I believe, would suppress, you know, the travel intentions from people going to the public lands.
So have you visited to see if there's any change? I drive by the big building in Oreck, and the front door was closed last week, mm-hmm. the week before it was open. So I don't know if it was, you know, a special event or if they've shut down the, was it Southern headquarters? For Redwood National Park,
sure.
I think that's what they call the place.
Well, you got to keep in mind that, you know, this is not our first rodeo. We've had shutdowns before. And then, as now, we find ourselves in a felicitous situation in that our national park is co-managed with the California Parks and Recreation. So almost all of the major attractions, whether it's Fern Canyon or Lady Bird Johnson Grove, what have you, are open to the public because there's, you know, California State Park rangers there.
That's why I just written down the state parks, which are unaffected.
Absolutely.
So, and the county parks even less affected.
Right. So Redwood is open because it's co-managed, and then the rest of our parks are state or county. So,
and then that's my fun part, because also if you think Smithsonian, you're walking into a building that has a door. If you're going into, say, Muir Woods, that's state, but also when you're walking in, there is an entrance. So we have entrances to our parks, yes. However, we're so blessed to live in the area we live in where you don't have to walk in the door, you drive through. When you come through the parks, you're essentially there. You get to still visit and experience regardless of what's going on with the government.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Not that I've walked every single trail by a long stretch in the national park. I can't, other than their dorms and maybe an information building, what other doors are there?
Well, you're not going to go to the Tall Trees Grove. You need a permit and trail access, and that's purely federal land there. Maybe a couple other little places like that. For the most part, though, it's wide open.
There's
so
options.
Are you guys getting a lot of inquiry from media, or is this more a reaction to the national media, how it's playing out?
It's a reaction to the national, and, you know, frankly, it could not happen at a better time for us because it's the low season and it's raining, and you know, the demand is less than it can be. But we do have on our website, of course, a prominent explanation of the fact that our park is open and come on down.
Yeah, I would suspect that in the off season like this is, even a 1 or 2% decline is felt a little bit more, just because there's less numbers. But it's, I think you're right. It's mm-hmm. you know, this time of year, we don't have a lot of people stomping around the woods anyway that aren't locals.
Yeah. Oh, we have
we
some.
We have some.
We have some.
Well, sure. But there's a reason why it's called an off season.
Yeah, it's an off season.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be fearful if it was like a ski resort.
Sure.
For sure.
Keep in mind, though, that one of the major marketing, you know, focuses we've had for years is to develop shoulder and off season travel. And a keystone of that is that the Redwoods are a year round attraction.
Well, okay. Open today.
Yeah.
That might be the little kicker phrase on that one, huh?
That's right. Fun.
Yeah. Interesting. So this time of the year, you guys historically have gone to a lot of the consumer trade shows and the outreaches and that kind of stuff. Are those still proving to be as viable?
I would say absolutely yes. And we can divide this into two silos because we have direct to consumer, which is, you know, usually regional shows where we're inviting people to come face to face. But then we also have the travel trade.
It's the guy or gal with the backpack on.
Yeah.
So to speak. Yeah.
We also have the travel trade, which is more April's bailiwick. And that is talking to all the intermediaries in the supply chain. And I think you're getting the notice. We can talk about them next segment.
Both.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We got another 20 seconds.
Oh,
so
yeah. Okay.
You shut it down a little earlier.
I'm good at that.
Apparently so. two different target groups, two different approaches then, obviously, as well.
Exactly.
Food?
Ooh, I love food.
Okay, fine.
Chocolate? Did you say chocolate?
Yeah. Whatever it takes to bring people here.
What
it's
time?
8:19.
You love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with April Higgins and Tony Smithers from the Visitors Bureau. Tony, before the break, you had indicated that there are two specific markets that the Bureau reaches out to. One is the guy or gal who's going to be doing it themselves, and the other is those that are doing it for others.
Right.
You know, and hopefully the golden rule is in play.
Yes. Right.
Do four others rather than two others, yeah. How distinctive are the messages to those two different markets?
Well, there certainly is some overlap because it's all about the experience, whether it's something you want to aspire to yourself or whether it's something that you want to be able to market to your customers. The experience is what we're talking about. But beyond that, it can be quite different because the planning needs of the people doing, you know, of thinking about traveling here are quite different from, you know, a family who want to know what's a good place to stay near the park and where can I feed the kids. And
but there are some common elements, aren't there?
Sure, everyone needs to know, you know, lodging, dining, attractions. But when we get into the travel trade side, and I'll kick this to April in a minute. They want to know much more. They want to know who we can contract with, who is a reliable provider, so that we can then have confidence when we market the destination to our clientele. They want to know.
Kind of like when they're passing their customer on to somebody else, they want to have trust and faith that their customers can be treated the way that they would treat their customers.
And in fact, for some of these intermediaries, particularly like international tour operators, European tour operators, in Germany, you know, the tour operator is legally liable for everything which they market and sell. So they're on the line. They just can't say, well, sorry, this place didn't pull through. They're on the line for it. So they have to have a high level of trust. Wouldn't you agree, April?
Yeah, so the people we're talking about, these companies, their clients choose from a pre-qualified catalog. So we're essentially contracting to get put into the catalog that then, say, the tour operator is going to look through and purchase from. So if they're selling their tours and they're saying all properties will be 4-star, they don't want to go through the legwork and all the effort of finding every hotel that meets their qualifications. And
just know that it's handled.
Yeah. So they have the relationship built with the companies we're working with, and we present our properties and our area to their catalog and say, yes, we believe that we're worth being in your catalog. We invite them out. They come stay. They come visit. Or they look at our information and say that's good enough and then start contracting directly with the property. Now, that property, when the tour operator looks through their catalog of the year, they say, oh, look, we have Bimbo Inn. What is that place? And they haven't been presented with it yet because that's where they're looking for their next tour.
So you're, in effect, presenting to the catalog manufacturers.
For the most part, yes.
And then they sell their product up right. The food chain, so to speak.
And the more I'm getting into it, I'm seeing which key players provide for which tour operators in which countries.
That are most likely to come here.
That are most likely to come here, yes, and in our region. And then we also pay attention to other areas in California especially, but California, some in Oregon, that Washington, that help feed into our region also.
I would suspect that there are international as a group, mm-hmm. national as a group, regional as a group. Do they all use the same catalogs?
For the most part, if you get boil it all down, there's a couple, say, handful. There's a handful that are then they tier out after that. It's good to work with the many, but some of those contracts, like there's one, been working on one contract for 2 years straight.
So there are key players.
There are some key
just
players.
Just as there is in any industry.
And then there's these other ones that you get a much quicker response. So if you think of it as your pipeline as sales, if I spent all of my time working on one key player, that's not a great use of my time.
They're going to get tired of you.
Okay. They'll get tired of me, and it's not going to help us very much either. That won't help us. But if you fill it with a little bit broader with different ones, it's great.
Because I would imagine different catalogs, just like different individuals, specialize in different arenas.
Exactly.
Certainly. And for the most part in travel, that is based upon, what economy level you're at, whether it's, luxury travel or family or whatever.
So what I was saying was like lifestyle.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There's probably a catalog for, let's say, fly fishing. Okay. Some areas can, some areas can't. And the areas that can, they want to know a little bit more about, even though the market may not be really mm-hmm. broad. People are passionate in those niches, so right. to speak. So if you can identify those niches and who's delivering the goods. Are these catalogs printed so that you've got deadlines periodically?
Some are printed. Some are. Most of them are like an online software program.
So
it's
you can be added
CRM.
Anytime?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. A customer relations program that they share with their clients. And so they actually log in and book online, that kind of catalog. They
so,
do have
so if you tap in, let's say you make a great presentation to Tony and he's one of these folks,
uh-huh.
will Tony have the flexibility to be able to add in that destination next week? Or do these things come out periodically?
That all varies.
Okay.
And definitely contracting with the properties.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers and April Higgins from the Humboldt, is it Humboldt Eureka or Eureka Humboldt?
Eureka Humboldt. Eureka's Humboldt. Always first with us.
Ha. I might have a chance to remember it just because of the pun. Visitors Bureau. Tony Smithers and April Higgins. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by REDEC, by Humboldt Termite Pest Control and Murphy's Markets. Guys, as you're looking for the different markets that are there, whether it's the catalog folks, the tour operators, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I would suspect that you can't deviate from whatever the basic message is too terribly much as you're trying to tailor it to what someone's interests are. Maybe the tour operators, because you know, they probably will never be here and they don't care. They're just hustling. Okay, that's cool. I mean, you know, that's, they have... They're trying to provide the experience for other people. No problem with that. But I would think that you're kind of within the bookends, if you will, of whatever the message is. You can't wildly deviate from what the message is from one group to another because of that confusion that might be generated from that. How do you work that one through?
Well, you know, you're discussing one of the key challenges of all marketing, which is to stay on focus and to have a message or brand, as some people describe it, and to be faithful to that and not to dilute it too much. We do find that a challenge because, yes, we have said for quite a while, okay, the Redwoods are our brand. It's certainly the one thing that we have, which is remarkable far beyond any other destination attribute, you know, in comparison to our competitors. But we have so many other things that we're proud about, too. And we have other things that we know are destination drivers. We know that people travel for the arts, for food, for events and entertainment, or for any number of niche activities, whether it's fly fishing or mountain biking, you name it. So our challenge has always been how to include all of those other messages
within or under the umbrella of?
Under the umbrella of. And I, you know, we've been successful more or less. I think some people think that we're too focused on the Redwoods. We have to deal with that perception all the time. I would counter that, you know, Redwoods fill your hotel rooms.
Well, if you're looking for really the unique experience, I would think part of the challenge is, what's the difference between a Redwood and a Sequoia? What's the difference between Redwoods Humboldt versus Redwoods Marin?
Mm-hmm.
And because for a lot of folks, they may not know, they may not care.
Or as to quote former President Reagan, you've seen one Redwood, you've seen them all.
Or the perception that that's the case. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So how do you break that one down? Or really... Mm-hmm. Fine-tune that unique in the unique selling proposition?
Well, you know, a lot of it is to get very granular about what our Redwood experience is. So whether it's the fact that we do actually have the world's tallest tree in our county, or whether it's a unique experience like Fern Canyon, or whether it's some effort...
Drive-through trees,
they're classics. Or the science that's being done around the Redwood ecology, or you know, or whether it's something more recreation oriented, like you know, the best hiking trails, best you know, bicycle trails, whatever.
So linked, but ancillary.
Yes, it's like here's the redwoods. It's a magical region. You got to experience for yourself. But within that, here's something really specific that's really relevant to what you want to do.
Well, that's where I get to do a lot of fun talk, because most people that I do speak with, they don't know that we have dining. They don't know that we have lodging, whether near or in these national parks. And that's something that they're really looking for. But when they think of the redwoods, they're thinking an empty forest. So it's both, it's two exciting things I get to share with them. You're not staying in a city that you then have to travel to the destination of your redwood park, and then you travel back to your city as if you visited it like an attraction and that sort. Here we have the acreage, we have the landmass, we have it's all encompassed. So you're going to be in the redwoods already, and then you get to go to dining and you're still in the redwoods. You get to experience the difference between a sequoia and a redwood, because you wouldn't know looking at your picture from back in New York. You're not going to know.
Yeah, almost nuances.
Yeah. The next thing I love is that we have more than just a redwood. We have an entire forest. So that includes the nature. That includes the different, we have flowers. Where they're not going to have flower, they're not going to have trillium out in Muir Woods the way we're going to have it out here.
Do they have rhodies or azaleas?
I actually have never been to Muir Woods.
To some degree, but do they? Not like we do.
But rhododendrons are mushrooms, are hilarious and cute, and people love them. So there are things about our forest that, yes, they have redwoods, but theirs are. I'll keep it positive. I love the amount of redwoods that we have.
It's more of a park-like setting rather than a forest.
Yeah.
Might be a
great way to put it. A park versus a forest. So
there's a phrase that I stumbled on last, I think, I don't know if I shared it with you, Tony. Bundle of experience.
Ha.
It's the bundle.
Yeah.
The expectations being met, but it's everything taken in total.
Mm-hmm.
So if... say, for example, a wonderful time, but it took him 3 trips to get into the airport because of whatever reason.
Who, here?
A flyer, yeah, coming in.
Oh.
Their experience is going to be different, even though everything else is the same, versus somebody who flies in first time. No problems, in, out, piece of cake. Totally different experience, and the message would be different. Nothing that you guys would do changes. Nothing that you would suggest, nowhere where they went, nothing would change other than that one element. Or losing the bag of luggage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that are totally out of control, but are part of the bundle of experience.
It's what you might call the weakest link of the destination.
Yeah, and that tends to be what gets our attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at something and it's not how everything is uniform, it's that one glitch. You know, an apple at the produce stand,
and that's
right?
What we got to work on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And some are controllable and some... aren't.
Tell me where there's a place that doesn't have
that. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Everybody, it just is interesting as we're talking about some of these things. KINS, at least for me, it was interesting. It's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:48. We're back to talk shop to Tony Smithers and April Higgins. Guys, what's got you excited about this coming year? I know that, Tony, this time last year you were excited about the anniversary of the national park and a couple of other things.
Sure.
And don't know if that translated or not, but you know, you still need to have that next thing. What's the next thing?
Well, there's a few things in the hopper that we are excited about, and I think on top of my list is airline connectivity. So we've got our LA flight now. That's going great, and based upon the load factor, they're not using a lot of their revenue guarantee monies.
No, Greg had said I think they're over 90.
Yeah, so it's crazy. So now we got Denver coming up. So Next month, we are going to be exhibiting in Denver. Our partners at the Mendocino Visitors Bureau, we're going to the Denver Travel and Adventure Show, we noticed. And we said, hey, can we partner with you and come along? And they said, sure. So we'll be out there, touting the new direct flight to ACV.
Humboldt County, where we don't burn.
where we don't burn,
I would suspect that that's going to be a big challenge, is to overcome the perception. All of California burned.
Is a cinder, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's got to be a big one out there.
It is, and we will be, full court press, and it's a visual story. Words don't tell it. We have to show green, and that's what we'll be doing.
And Visit California, who we work with, has a big marketing campaign or a campaign going on to help with that also. They're really good at helping internationally, especially.
Oh, okay, that's where the emphasis is for the international stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Good, good. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Nice
to see you again, April.
A pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.